And we're holding page Lamed in Megillah, Ois Chofches, beginning the second parak. So the parak is called Akhoda Lamakreya, and it begins with the din that if a person reads the Megillah out of order, then he's not Yotze. So Akhoda, the Mishnah says, Akhoda Samagillah Lamakreya, La Yotze Chola. If a person reads the Megillah out of order, then he's not Yotze. And we know there was, of course, the famous vote from the Baal Shem Tov on it, that it means also in a deeper sense that if a person reads the Megillah as Lamafreya, something happened way back in the past and has no relevance now, then he's also not really Yotze, because it's something that has an ongoing horizon for us. So now the Gemara brings Tana. We learn in a Braisa, b'chein b'halal, b'chein b'kriyishmo b'tfilah. The same thing applies to Halal, it has to be said in order, and the same thing Krishma, and the same thing Tefillah, meaning Shemini Esrei. All of those have a defined order, and they have to be said in that order, or you're not Yotze. So let's go through each of them. Halal Minolon, where do we know that Halal has to be said Davka in the order in which it's written? And by the way, you do have there is a machlokas among the Achronim. Would that apply also? Do we mean only the, for sure, if a person says words in the pasuk out of order, or says individual psukim within a chapter out of order, then for sure he's not Yotze. What about if he says the chapters of Hallel themselves out of order, would he be Yotze? Now, by Krishma, we actually have that Rambam points out, since that Rambam learns, since the parashiyos of Shema are not one next to the other in the Torah, they're from all over the place. Shema is from Vayis Chanan, Vayoyim Shemaya from Ekev, Vayoyimer from Shlach. Then, therefore, the Rambam holds that b'diavad, you say them out of order, you're still Yotze. Does the same thing apply to Halal? Maybe yes. On the other hand, some Achronim point out maybe not, considering that Halal, the Prakim, are one after the other in Tilim. So you have different opinions about that. But for sure, if you say the words or the psukim out of order, then you're not Yotze. So Manolan, where do we know that from? Rabbi says, because Halal says from the rising of the sun until its setting, we should praise the name of Hashem, and that means just like the rising and the sun are never going to be interchanged, the same way the words of Halal can't be switched around either. Rabbi Yosef says you have another thing from the end of Halal. Zehayoyim al Hashem. This is the day that Hashem made, meaning Halal has to be like the day. The order of the hours of the day doesn't get switched around, and neither can the words of Halal. Rabbi Ivya says, because it says the Yehi, it should be the name of Hashem blessed, and Yehi means Kahva Yasa Yehe, it should be exactly the way it's written in the exact order. So it has to be Kasei. Here's another one. The pasuk says me'ata vad olam, from now and forever. You have a place? Yeah. Well, last time we left off in the middle of the parak, but that was because we had done things out of order. We did the rest of the parak before. We did the rest of the parak before before Purim. Yeah. Yeah. Of course. No. Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. No. Yeah. So Rav Nachman Yitzchok b'Tamer Rav Acha b'Yakov Omer Me'Hacha Me'ata Vad Olam. The pasuk says that you should praise Hashem from now and forever. Again, meaning just like now comes before forever, the same way the words of Halal have to be in order. Maybe you can see from this Gemara that time travel is impossible, because now is always before later on. But I don't know. Okay. Anyway, so that's where we see that Halal has to be said in order. And again, you have a machlokas among the poskim achronim. What about if you say the prakim bit out? Okay, Kriyishma, where do we see that Kriyishma has to be said in order? So that's going to come out from the following machlokas. D'tanya, we learn in a braisa, Kriyishma k'ksava, saying Kriyishma has to be said as it was written, meaning in Lashon Kodesh, you can't be Yotze in any other language. B'chom say that you can say Kriyishma in any language. Now, the halacha, we have the usual rule, halacha k'rebi mechavei roi v'loi mechavei rov, that when Rebbe is arguing against one individual Tana, the halacha is like him. But when he's arguing against the Chachamim, then generally it's not. This is one of those examples. Therefore, the halacha is like the Chachamim. And in fact, the halacha, you could say Krishma in any Lashon. There are some Achronim, actually, interestingly, who say that in Shema, and in Brachas, for that matter also, who learn that that you can't use any other substitute for Hashem's name, you would have to use the name Adonai. So they would hold, for example, you could say Shema in English, but you would have to say, "Hear, O Israel, Adonai is our God," etc. Others, the majority of poskim disagree with that, though, and say that God, at least, is definitely a valid usage in English, and that's for in the Tilos Hashem Siddur, in the English Tilos Hashem Siddur, for example, they have it that way, and it's halacha l'maisa like that you can do that and be yotze that way. Okay. Anyway, so my time of the, so what now, this doesn't directly impinge on whether you have to say Shema in order, but we're going to see as we go through the discussion of where each of them learns their opinion from, we're going to see that we come out in the, that we, that, that in the middle of it comes out the point that Kriya Shema has to be said in order. So my time of the Rebbe, why does Rebbe say that Shema has to be said Davka in Lashon Kodesh? Amakra, because he says, because the Pasuk says, Vahoyu, Vahoyu Advarim Eil. Meaning again, Vahoyu, just like we just said that that Yehi Shem Hashem Mevorach means exactly in this way and without any switching around. The same way, Vahoyu means Bahavios and Yehu means they have to be in their original form, meaning in Lashon Kodesh. Rabbanon, why do the Chachamim say that not in that case that Kriya Shema can be said in any language? And the reason is Amakra, because the Pasuk also says Shema. Hear. And Shema doesn't just mean to hear as in the sound waves go into your ear. We find in many places in Tanakh where the word Shema means to pay attention, to understand. Harei, for example, tells Yosef, Tishma chaloim lifter oisef. Doesn't just mean you hear a dream, means you can understand. And the same way we find many other examples that Shemeya means to pay attention. So Shema Yisrael means pay attention and focus means b'chol lashon sha'ata shemeya. So it means whatever language you can understand, it's valid to say Shema. Well, the question is v'Rebbe nami hoksiv Shema. So what does Rebbe do with that word? And the answer is ahumi be'le hashmeya la'oznecha ma'ashata moitzi mipicha. Rebbe says from that you learn that you have to say the words of Shema in a way that you can hear them. You can't just move your lips. You actually have to say it in a way that you can. You have to be. It has to be audible at least to your own ears. V'rabbanan. Now, what are the Rabbanan answer to that? They say no. Savri commander Amar Kriya Shema v'lo Shmi la Ozne Yotze. They hold like the opinion, which is also la halacha, that if a person did not say the words audibly, then he's still Yotze. Therefore, they don't need to learn that from the word Shema, and therefore they have the word Shema available to teach B'chol Lashon Shata Shema. Okay, V'rabbanan nami hoksiv v'hoyu. What are the Chachamim doing with the word v'hoyu, which Rebbe is saying means that it has to be in order? And the answer is, Amun Boiler, Shalir Kalam Afreya. They say that means that you're not allowed to read Shema out of order. Again, V'hoyu means Baba Yos and Yehu, not as far as the language they're saying, but as far as the order, that the letters and the psukim have to be in, the words and the psukim have to be in order. The Rebbe Shalayukra Mafreya Manole. Meanwhile, where does Rebbe learn that from? He also agrees with that din. So that's what we said. Everybody agrees that there is a din. You can't say Shema out of order. The Chama learning it from Hoyu. Rebbe, who's using Vahoyu to say that it needs to be in Lashon Kodesh, where is he getting that from? He says, Midvorim had Dvorim. Because the Pasuk says Vahoyu had Dvorim Ma'ela. It didn't have to say had Dvorim. It could have said Vahoyu Dvorim Ma'ela. And it would still mean the same thing. V'rabbanan Dvorim had Dvorim Le'mach Malahu. Nachum, don't consider that to be a significant change. That's just the style of the pasuk. Al derech dibra Torah koloshim ve'adam. It's normal to have a hay over there, and it's not meant to teach us anything special. Okay. The bottom line is, in other words, both Rebbe and the Chacham agree that Shema can't be said out of order. They're arguing on two points. A, can you say Shema in some other language? And B, does Shema have to be said where you can hear it? Okay. Now, the Gemara points out, Lema kasava Rebbe, does this mean the fact that Rebbe has to have a specific pasuk by Shema, the word Vahoyu, to tell us that Shema has to dafka be said in Lashon Kodesh, does that mean that Rebbe holds that in general, the whole Torah, when it comes to laning the Torah, you could do it in any language and could be Yotze? And therefore by Shema, he says we need a particular pasuk to tell us that it needs to be in Lashon Kodesh. The Isak Dadach Balashon HaKodesh Nemra, if you're going to tell us that to begin with, you can only be Yotze Kriyas HaTorah only in Lashon Kodesh, normally the Michta, Vahoyu, then why would it need to say Vahoyu in the first place? The whole Torah can only be, you can only be Yotze, the mitzvah of saying words of Torah in Lashon Kodesh, therefore automatically the same thing would apply to Shema. So Rashi says we're referring to Kriyas HaTorah. Tosfos objects, actually, that most Kriyas HaTorahs are not Daraisa. The only one that is Parshas Zachar, and some say also Parshas Parah. So how would there be a pasuk saying that in general you can't be Yotze Kriyas HaTorah in any language other than Lashon Kodesh, or that you could be Yotze in other languages if anyway the whole concept of Kriyas HaTorah is Dirabban? So Tosfos says we don't mean Kriyas HaTorah. We mean other things that have to be said, other things where the Torah tells us to say certain words or certain sentences. By Chalitza Kocha Yosel Ish, by the brachas of Klolos on how grisim and how evil, though we were now doing Sfira, those who are learning Masechta Sota are going to be getting to this, topic right around Lag BaOmer, beginning Daf Lamed Beis and continuing for several blocks after that. So, So yeah. So what does that mean? So Tosfos says we mean as far as those things. Does Rebbe hold that in fact it would be valid to say the words by chalitza or the words by various other mitzvahs by mikra bikurim would be another example. Does Rebbe hold that ordinarily it would be valid to say them in any other language and only because it says v'hoyu by shma do we say not? And the answer is no, because you could say itzrich. You could say according to Rebbe here by shma needs to mention it specifically. Otherwise, sakdat shma kerabanan. Otherwise, you might think to understand shma the way the chachamim do. Plus, rachman v'hoyu. So Rebbe holds the reason why the Torah writes v'hoyu is because v'hoyu together with shma. The v'hoyu tells us not to understand shma the way the chachamim do. That it means that you can say it in any language. Rather, davka understand shma in the sense that Rebbe is understanding it to mean that you have to hear it and then it has to be in the original words that are said in the Torah. Then the Gemara says the other way around. Do the Chachamim maybe hold that anything that has to be read in Torah, whether Kriyas HaTorah, like Rashi says, or whether we mean things like Chalitza and Mikra Bikurim, like Tosfos says, dafka have to be said in Lashon Kodesh. And therefore, only by Shema is there the exception. If you're telling me that any way you can be Yotza saying these things in any language, then why would it have to say Shema? And the answer is they would say exactly the opposite of Rebbe. It's if you need it to say Shema, because otherwise you would think the Vahoyu was meant to be interpreted the way Rebbe does, not that it means you can't say it out of order, but it means that you have to say it in Lashon Kodesh, therefore it says Shema. So in short, in other words, according to Rebbe, Shema itself could mean one or the other, and Vahoyu clarifies what it actually means. And according to the Chachamim, the other way around, Vahoyu could go one way or the other, and Shema clarifies what it means. But yes, either one of them could hold that other things in Torah that have to be said have to be said in Lashon Kodesh, or they could hold that they have to be that they can be said in any language. And then in Sota over there, it discusses there are certain things that Elunem Morim B'chol Lashon. There are certain things that can be said in any Lashon, among them Krishma, according to the Chachamim, and then there are things that Dafka have to be said in Lashon Kodesh, among them the Psukim by Chalitza. Now, the Gemara says, Tfila Minola. Now, we said another thing that has to be said, Dafke, in order, is Tfila, meaning Shemina Esre. Minola, where do we know that from? So, like this, Titania, we learn in a Braisa, Shimon Hapkuli, Histu Yudches Brochas, the Tnei Rem Gamliel, Ala Seda Biyavne. Shimon Hapkuli, what does Pekuli mean? Rashi brings that some say that it means that he said that Pekula means bundles of cotton. So this Shimon HaPkuli sold, made a living from selling bundles of cotton, and therefore he was called Shimon HaPkuli. Anyway, so he arranged the 18 brachas of Shemoneh Esrei in front of Rav Gamliel in their exact order in Yavne. Later on, the Gemara points out that Shemoneh Esrei was first composed by Anshe Knesset HaGdola. So what does Shimon HaPkuli have to do several hundred years later? And the Gemara ends up explaining that people have forgotten the correct order of the brachos or some other detail we'll learn about tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, what exactly it was that was forgotten. And therefore, Shimon HaPkuli had to rearrange it. Afterwards, the Gemara in Bracha says that in Ram Gamliel's time, they needed to add the 19th Bracha of Alam Al-Shinim, and Shimon and Shmuel HaTzadi and Shmuel HaKotten went and composed that and inserted it into Shimon Esrei. So now, Amar Rav Chiya Ba'aba, Amar Rav Yechon, Ba'amilav Masnis HaTana, others say it's Torah in a Braisa, Kuf Chof Zkenim, the 120 Zkenim of the Knesset HaGdola, Umehem Tama Nevi'im, and among them are a number of Nevi'im. The Rambam, when he mentions Anshe Knesset HaGdola, points out there were quite a number of Nevi'im among them. Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, Mordechai, Ezra, which, okay, we had previously an opinion that Ezra is identical with Malachi, and we had another opinion that they're two separate people. You had a bunch of other people over there who were Nevi'im. Anyway, Tiknuk, Yudches Brochas, Ala Seder, they arranged the 18 Brochas of Shemoneh Esrei in the proper order in which we have. So now the Gemara is going to go through on what basis did they set up that order? What considerations were brought to bear on each bracha, why it's placed in its particular order? So Tanan Abanan, first of all, we learn in a Braisa, we learn this in Rosh Hashanah, Minayin Sha'omim Ovos, how do we know that we start out with the bracha Ovos, Lekeinu, Lekei Avraham, Lekei Yitzchak, Lekei Yaakov, Shenema, the pasuk says, Hovu Lashem B'nei Evin, give to Hashem, meaning give praise to Hashem, you sons of the mighty ones. The Ovos are called the mighty ones because they were mighty in Amunah and Hashem and in Mitzvahs. The Medrash actually brings a couple of other reasons why they're called Elim as well. Elim is also Meloshon Ilmim, as in they're mute, even when they had even when they could have made a valid argument against Hashem, why he's treating them the way he does, they still accepted everything. And the Medrash brings other reasons as well. Anyway, Hovel Hashem b'nei Elim then means, so Marsha explains, we learned this in Rosh Hashanah, means we break up the words of the pasuk. Hovel Hashem b'nei, you children, give praise to Hashem. What kind of praise? Elim, a praise to Hashem that has to do with the powerful ones, the others. How do we know that then we say the bracha of gvuras at a giver? Shenema, Hovel Hashem covered va'oz. The pasuk continues, give to Hashem power and give to Hashem honor and strength. And then how do we know that we say the bracha after Kaddish? Shenema, Hovel Hashem kvod shmoi, give to Hashem the honor for his name. Hishtachul Hashem behadres Kaddish, bow to Hashem in the glory of holiness. So we see that all of this is referring to behadres Kaddish, where we're in a place in a time of holiness, meaning when we're davening Shemini Esrei. Marsha also points out there in Rosh Hashanah the word Hovu is gematria 13, which is also the gematria of the word Echad. And in fact, we have lahalacha, the three first brachas of Shemini Esrei are considered one bracha in the sense that if a person makes a mistake in one of them, he has to go back to the beginning. For example, now we have this time of year, we're getting used to where some of us are still getting used to saying Morid Atol instead of Masha Baruch Morid Geshem. If you make a mistake, then you don't just start over with Atta Gibber, you have to start the entire Shemini Esrei over. And the same thing with Hamelach HaKadosh doing Aseres Metrova and other examples like that. So all those three brachas are echad, which is the same gematria as hovu, which is why they're hinted at with these phrases. Okay, next, umaro loyma bina achat kedusha. Why did the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah decide that the next bracha after kedusha, after kaddish, should be the bracha of bina, the bracha of atachonin, where we umalam la'enish bina chonin imid chachochma bina vadas. So Shenema, the pasuk says, "V'ikdishus kedosh Yaakov," the Jewish people will hallow, will make holy the name of the Holy One of Yaakov of Hashem. V'asal kei Yisrael yaritzu, they will praise and they will exalt the name of the God of Yisrael. V'samichle, and the next pasuk continues, "V'yodu soye ruach bina." Those who are going astray in their spirit and their knowledge will have understanding. So we see that after Vikdishu immediately comes Vyodu, means to know Vyodu and Bina, to know Bina, to have the intelligence to connect with Hashem. Marsha says there's more of it than that, actually. If we look at the Psukim over there, the previous pasuk before the pasuk v'ikdishu es kedosh Yaakov, so we have like this, we have the aftorah of the that we read for parashas Shmos is taken from Perek Chof Zayin and Chof Ches of Yeshaya, but the main part of it ends on a negative note, so therefore we insert two psukim from later on from the end of Perek Chof Tes, and those two psukim go Koyam and Hashem al beis Yaakov asher podas Avraham, so says Hashem to the house of Yaakov who redeemed Avraham, and he continues that the Yaakov should have no reason to be embarrassed or ashamed of his descendants, because as the pasuk continues over here, he'll see that they make Hashem's name holy, the Yikdishu es Kedosh Yaakov. The simple meaning means that Hashem, who redeemed Avraham, is saying to the house of Yaakov. However, there's a famous medrash on it that says that Yaakov redeemed Avraham in the sense that Avraham, the medrash says, was saved from the furnace that Nimrod threw him into in the schus of that later on Yaakov is going to come from him. So therefore, Yaakov, Ashapodas Avraham, Yaakov actually redeemed Avraham. Api Kabbalah and Api Chassidus, you have also the point that Yaakov is Tiferes, which is Rachamim. And Rachamim brings out the truth of what Chesed should be, because Chesed itself can be misused, and Rachamim directs it in the proper way. We're going to have it comes up in a few days in Tanya at the end of Perek Mem Hei. The Alter Rebbe mentions that point briefly. Anyway, so now. When Yaakov sees his children that they're being Makadish Hashem, the Kuba Yakdishu Shmi, and they're doing a Kiddush Hashem Barabim, like Avraham did in his time, and like Daniel Hanani Mishal Bazalya did later, the result is Vesel Kei Yisrael Yaritzu. They're gonna make Hashem more powerful in the world. Everybody in the world is gonna realize how powerful Hashem is, and even the Yadu Soye Ruach, even the ones who go astray, like Nimrod and Nebuchadnezzar, are going to know Bina. They're gonna understand for the first time that Hashem runs the world and Hashem looks after the Jewish people specifically. So therefore, the whole flow of those two psukim, Marsha says, is talking about the Mesiras Nefesh that Avraham had going into the furnace, and the Mesiras Nefesh that Hanani Mishal Bazalya did in their times also going into the furnace, which has an effect. Not only it makes a Kiddush Hashem among Jews, but it even causes a Kiddush Hashem, and it causes a greater knowledge of Hashem, even by the Goyim. Okay, so therefore, so that's why Atta Chonin comes after Atta Kaddish. Next, Umar Rolo Metshuva Achavina. The next thing that the Chachamim put, the next thing that Anshe Knesset Gedolah put, is the bracha of Tshuva, Hashivenu Avinu. So why that? Dichtiv, because the pasuk says, another pasuk in Yeshaya, Olavava Yavin, his heart will understand, Vishav, and he'll do Tshuva, the Rach Olay, and he'll be healed. So therefore, we see that after Yavin comes Vishav. The point is, in other words, Maharsha says, when a person has bina, when a person has understanding, he realizes how grave it was to do an aveda against Hashem and who Hashem is. Therefore, he right away does tshuva. Therefore, at chonin, the chonin ados immediately brings to hashivin. So the Gemara asked, well, since it says Baruch Eloi, Yehochi Lemer of four Basa Tshuva, okay, then the next bracha after Hashivenu ought to be the bracha Rafa'enu. Why do we have other brachas in between? And the answer is Loi Sakadai. You can't think that should be that way. Dichtiv, because you have another pasuk, the Yoshev al Hashem v'Yirachameihu. A person should do tshuva and return to Hashem, and Hashem will have rachmanus on him. There's also the explanation that the Altareva mentions in Tanya that it means also the person will have rachmanus on Hashem, so to speak. He has rachmanus on the nitzitz alakus of his neshama, that where it got down to, and he has rachmanus on it. And then yeah, anyway. So the elavikenu ki yarbil aslayach, and he'll return to our God because he's always abundant and forgiving. He forgives over and over again. So therefore, we see that the yoshev comes right away after it comes lislayach without refuah in between. So the Gemara says, okay, my chos samchas aha. Fine, you have a pasuk where we see that right after tshuva comes slicha, but smoich aha. But instead, you have another pasuk that shows that after tshuva comes refuah. So why are the chachamim relying on the one pasuk to say that refuah doesn't come only directly after tshuva, but only a few brachas later? Why don't they instead use the earlier pasuk and say that right after hashivenu should come refuahenu? And the answer is Ksiv Krachrina, because there's yet another pasuk that shows that the order is that you have Slicha and then Refuah. The pasuk is Haseleach L'chol Avinechi, Hashem forgives all your Averis, Haroifa L'chol Tachlorichi, Hashem heals all of your sicknesses. And the next pasuk continues HaGoyol Mishachas Chayoichi, Hashem redeems your life from the pit, from the grave, and from Gehenna. So we see that the order is specifically that you have so you see that specifically the order has to be that first you're going to have slicha, and only later on you're going to have refuah and geula. So the Gemara asks, remember the geula refuah basa slicha? Fine, but are you going to say, does that mean that all those things come only after slicha? What about the pasuk that we said before? A person understands how badly he acted by sinning against Hashem, so he does tshuva, and he's healed. So we see that rafalai comes even without the other things, even without the slicha in between. So what is that? And the answer is Ahulav refor to tachaluim he other refor to slichi. The answer is the verof alay of that pasuk doesn't mean a healing from physical sicknesses. It means the healing of tshuva, as we find, for example, that Rambam describes in Hilchos Deis, and Maharsha refers over here to. He says in more detail in Shmona Prokim in his introduction to Pirkei Avos that the same way as there are physical illnesses and infirmities and whatnot, the same way there are ruchnistika ones. He mentions in Hilchos Deis, for example, you have a person who has bad midas, means he's sick in his neshama, and he has to go to the doctors who heal him, named Chachamim, who are going to put him on the right path. So the Baruch Eloi here, the Gemara was assuming to begin with that the Baruch Eloi means physical healing of the kind that we daven for in the Baruch Rafa'enu. And now we're saying that no, it's actually the kind of ruchniyistika healing that is the subject of the Baruch Slachwani. So therefore, everything fits neatly. Maharsha gives a long explanation over here that it's like this. Sometimes you can have, when we say that a person does tshuva and Hashem forgives him, sometimes it can be that Hashem forgives him straight out. Sometimes it can be that Hashem brings upon him yisurim, and that's how he gets forgiven. So that's the point. In other words, when we put in slicha first, what we're saying is we want that there should be the refuah. We want that Hashem should send him refuah after the slicha. We want first should be the slicha, and then Hashem will. And then if there have to be yisurim, then Hashem will heal him of those, rather than the slicha has to depend on the choloyim and the refuah. We say in Yom Kippur davening, we have the line that we have the line shaloi achta oy, that I shouldn't do averus anymore. O masha chatosi lefanecha, and whatever I did sin before you, mechoyk barachamecha or rabim, please erase with your great rachmim. Avaloi ayde yisurim, mecholoi imroim, but it shouldn't have to be through yisurim and serious illnesses. So in other words, it shouldn't be that the yisurim are so serious that they're what's needed for the slicha. The slicha should be through rachmim rabim. Later on, if necessary, there can be the yisurim to finish cleaning things up. So that's what the Gemara is saying over here, that we see that refuah always has to have slicha before it. So there's going to be slicha, and then if there needs to be after that, if on top of that there needs to be yisurim, then there should be a refuah from that, and that's the subject of the bracha refa'in. The Alter Rebbe makes a point along those lines at the beginning of Igeres HaTshuva. Also, he points out that there was a popular notion at the time that doing tshuva requires that a person take on himself fasting and other kinds of yisurim. And the Alter Rebbe explains that no, the yisurim, if there's going to be yisurim, it's going to come purely milamayla, that the Eivishter is going to take the initiative and give them in order to clean up the person, in order to fully clean up the person's averus. What you can have is, after a person has done tshuva or as part of the process of doing tshuva, then he takes on himself a certain degree of yisurim, and that way it's like bringing a korban oila to get back at Hashem's good graces. So that all fits with what Maharsho is saying over here. Gemara originally thought that it means there has to be refuah, as in there have to necessarily be yisurim b'chaloyim roim before there's going to be the slicha, and now we're saying that not. They set up Shemana Esrei actually in the order that it may imply that it doesn't happen like that. Next, why did the Chachamim, why did the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah decide that Ge'ula should be in the seventh bracha? The point being, in other words, that the point being, now Maharsha points out, we just said that the Ge'ula, that a person is redeemed from dying, that comes after the refuah. Therefore, we have the pasuk that we just quoted, HaRoifa L'chol Tachloichi HaGoyol Nishachas Chayoichi. But now we're talking about, so that's included in the bracha refa'in. If a person is asking Hashem to heal him, that also includes that he shouldn't die of his illness, so that other people that he's davening on behalf of shouldn't. So the ge'ula we mean over here is a different kind. So the question is, why dafka did the Chachamim decide that should be in the seventh bracha? For example, it still could have been. It could have been after refa'inu, and include both kinds of ge'ula, for example. So the answer is Amar Rav Mitoich Shasidin the Goyal B'Shvius, because in the future the Jewish people are going to be redeemed from this galus in the seventh year in Shmita L'Ficha Kavur B'Shvius. Therefore, the Chachamim established that the bracha Goyal Yisrael should be the seventh bracha. Now Rashi points out Goyal Yisrael is not actually talking about the Geula from Gol. He's not actually talking about the Geula from Galus. That's the subject of later brachas in Shemoneh Esrei, Tkav Shofar, as Tzemach, etc. But here the bracha of Geula, the bracha Re'e, is actually referring to all the individual tzaris that a person has, or that people have collectively at different times, that we dive into Hashem to save us from them, and we thank Hashem for saving us from them on an ongoing basis. We say Goyal Yisrael over there, unlike the Gemara points out in Pesachim, before Shemoneh Esrei, we say Goyal Yisrael, because they were referring to the Geula in the past from Yetzias Mitzrayim, whereas in this bracha, we say Goyal Yisrael, on an ongoing basis, Hashem saves us from all our tzaris. There's the well-known story involving the Oyev Yisrael, the after Rav, where with this yid, and I think we told it in the shiur before, where this yid who couldn't pay his rent to the paritz, and the paritz sent his goons to trash the whole place, and he goes to hear the after Rav Shabbos Agadol Derosha, and he hears him talking about Goyal Yisrael versus Goyal Yisrael, and Pe'evishta helps a yid in every situation, even if the paritz's goons come and trash his place, and the guy is overjoyed, and he and his family goes back home, and he and his family are dancing and singing. Kitzra Maisa, that itself was the keli that the paritz gave him, the place rent free for a meshach zman, and he was able to get back on his feet. Maybe. I don't know. That's a good question. Anyway. So Rashi points out that, again, the bracha Goyal Yisrael is not talking about the Geula Amitis Vashlema. It's talking about the Geula from a person's or a group of people's individual tzaris. Nevertheless, it's the name Geula, and therefore, it shares the name Geula with the Geula Amitis Vashlema, and that is associated with the seventh year. So, therefore, because the Geula is particularly associated with Shmiti. Bichlal, we have, of course, Mashiach can come at any moment, but we have Be'ita versus Achichena. You can have the defined Seder according to which Mashiach is going to come, versus you can have that he can come at any moment unexpectedly and then bypass that whole Seder. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean it says that Mashiach is going to come b'shvius? V'ha'amamar, in Sanhedrin, the Gemara discusses what the Gemara describes what's going to happen in the years before Mashiach comes. And it starts off with at the beginning of that Shemitah cycle is going to be difficult times. There's going to be famines, and there's going to be all kinds of things that people are going to forget their Torah learning, and there's going to be epidemics and so on and so forth. And then the list finishes off. The Shishis Kolos, in the sixth year, there are going to be sounds, which the Rashi over there in Sanhedrin explains a couple of possibilities. Rashi and other Mephoshim explain different possibilities. It can mean there's going to be rumors that Mashiach is on his way. It can mean there's going to be sounds of war approaching, whatever it is. But Shvius Melchamas, in the seventh year, there's going to be wars, the wars of Gog and Magog particularly. At the end of the seventh year, at the beginning of the eighth year, Ben David is going to come. So we see that Mashiach is associated with Metzoy Shvius, not Shvius. The answer is... What? We're holding on the bottom of page 60.
No, we are holding where? What's this?
Well, no, this year, if you're talking about the year, if you're talking about what year in the Shemitah cycle we're in, Tufshin Pei Dalet is the second year of a Shemitah cycle, the way that we observe it nowadays. You should know, by the way, though, that actually there are quite a few opinions among Rishonim. The way that we do it nowadays is based on the Rambam's Shita, which he says is the way they've done in Eretz Yisrael all the time. But the fact is, there are different opinions among Rishonim that place the Shemitah year in other possible years. According to some of them, it's at different places in the cycle right now. Anyway. So the Gemara answers, Nami, the fact is, the wars of Gog and Magog themselves are the beginning of the Geula process. Therefore, we can still call that Mashiach is associated with the seventh, and therefore they could put the bracha of Goy Yisrael as the seventh bracha of Shemin Esrei. Okay. Next, Umaro Loimer Refuah Bashmins. Why did the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah decide that the bracha of Refuah, that Refa'enu, should be the eighth bracha? Meaning, in other words, now you could say obviously because all the first seven slots are taken. But Maharshal says the fact is that the fact is we did say before that we wanted Refuah as close as possible to Slicha, because after all we did have the pasuk Hasileach L'chol Avinecha Haroifa L'chol Tachloichi. Fine, we have to put Geula in between for reasons that the Gemara just explained. But still, obviously, we want Refuah as soon as possible. Maharshal says the point of the question is, given that. Fine, on the one hand, we can associate Mashiach with Shvius, like we just said, but we can equally well associate him with the eighth year, because after all, Metzori Shvius is when actually Ben David Ba. So therefore, so the question is, what made the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah decide Geula has to be the seventh, and therefore Refuah is going to have to be left for the eighth? Why not instead say, let Geula be the eighth, because Metzori Shvius Ben David Ba, and that will leave room for Refuah to be as the seventh? And the answer is Amar Abacha mitoch shenitna mila b'shminis, because mila is given on the eighth day. Shetzricha refua, and mila requires refua. Leficha kavu'or b'shminis. Therefore, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah and later on Shimon Apkoli, when he redid this, assigned it as the eighth bracha to represent that point that at the of mila on the eighth day. B'chlal, there's an idea in Chassidus that Refua in general has to do with L'mayla Miseder Shtauschlus in general. You know, we talk about that you have the natural order of things is seven days, you know, of Maisa Bereshis, and eight transcends that. So there's the idea, for example, that it's brought that the word Chola is Gematria 49, representing that he only has Memtes Shari Bina, and he's lacking the 50th, where the 50th, after all, is the beginning of the eighth set, just like by Spiritus HaOmer, the 50th day, the first day of the eighth week, is Shavuos. So therefore, so you also have the idea that Refua is Dafka connected with the number eight. Umaro Lomib Birkas Hashonim Bachias. Now, why did the Chachamim decide that the bracha of the Baruch Aleinu should be the ninth bracha? Omer of Alexandri, Keneged Mafkiyei Sha'arim, because particularly in that bracha, we're davening against those who drive up the prices of food. Meaning you have people, the Gemara mentions this concept in various places, you have people who would hoard food, and then they would hoard grain and other supplies like that, and then when there's a shortage, when there's a drought or whatever, then prices are very high, then they would go and sell them in order to make a profit off the backs, particularly of the poor people who otherwise wouldn't be able to afford the grain. So therefore, so we're asking Hashem to break the power of such people. And Dichtiv, you have a pasuk in Tehillim in Kapitel Yud, Shvor Zroya Rosh HaBegoyim, David Davins, Hashem, break the arm, meaning the power of the Rosh. Now, Rashi explains that Udi Upsukim in that capital describe this Rosh as lying in wait to go and rob the poor. Now, why would anybody go and bother in robbing the poor? You want to rob, you're going to rob from the rich. So therefore, it refers to these mafkia sharim, where the people they take advantage of particularly are the poor people who can't afford the inflated prices that they're going to charge for their grain. So David is davening to Hashem, Shvor Zroya Rosh, break their power by bringing plentiful rain so that there should be a large enough supply of grain and other staples like that so that these mafkia sharim are never able to get a foothold and start this process of causing inflated prices in the first place. Maosho also adds, actually, the word zroya can be is the word shvur is also a word for grain, like ki yesheva b'mitzroyim, and the word zroya means meloshen zriya. So David is davening shvur zroya, Hashem, give a large supply of grain and a large supply of seeds of seeds that grow successfully, so that the Rosha isn't able to do what he's trying to do. And the David ki amra b'chias amra. Now David said this pasuk in the ninth capital of Tehillim. Therefore, we have Baruch Aleinu as the ninth bracha. Now, how is it ninth? Rashi says on the face of it, it's the eighth. Now we have it as the tenth. But Rashi, the girsa of Rashi that we have in front of us, says that it's the eighth. And the vort is, Rashi explains, because the first two kapitlach of Tehillim are actually counted, Ashrei and Lama Rog Shugoyim, actually count as one long kapitel. So therefore, it would come out that this would be the eighth. Now, Tosfos actually deals with that and says that actually it is true that those two are really counted as one kapitel. But on the other hand, Tosfos says still that would still leave this pasuk Shvor Zroya Rosh. So then it would leave it in the ninth. So it still wouldn't be the eighth kapitel, because Perek Tet, Kapitel Tes and Yud, Lamnatzeah Hamus Labein and Lama Hashem Tamid Berachot, those are in fact two separate kapitlach, and therefore it comes out that this pasuk is the ninth if we count Ashrei and Lama Rogshu as two kapitlach. Maosho also discusses this a little bit, and various other Mephoshim do also about the deal, about what is this business of the division of the Kapitlach Tehillim. The Gemara mentions in Brachas, when you had a Kapitel Tehillim that was particularly dear to David, it would begin and end it with the same phrasing. An example of that, for example, is Kapitel Kuf Mem Hei, Tilal David. He begins with Tilal David and finishes with Tilas Hashem Yidabapi. So the Gemara says another example of that is that you begin Tilim begins Ashrei Ha'ish, and the second parak ends Ashrei Kol Chosei Boi. So that implies that it's in origin it's one long capital of 18 psukim. Now we don't have it in our Tilims that way. Marsha in Brachas points out a very interesting point. The Gemara mentions over there in Brachas that at the end of Shemana Esrei we say the pasuk Yulerotzim Imreifi, because it's at the end of the 18th capital of Tehillim, and therefore it's appropriate to say it at the end of the 18 Brachas of Shemana Esrei. Well, we have 19 Brachas in Shemana Esrei, so when they added a 19th bracha, they had to then split one capital in two in order to keep it consistent, and therefore they split Ashrei and Lama Rogshu into two kapitlach. As far as Kapitel Tes and Yud, Lamnatzeach Hamus Labein and Lama Hashem Tamid Berachot, Tosfos makes the point that there are two. There are some who think that in origin they may have been one Kapitel also, which would explain what Rashi means when he says the eighth. And if you look at it, there is an interesting thing, actually. If you look at Kapitel Tes, so the Rif, actually, the Rif at the bottom of the page over here has a long, long discussion of this whole point. He says, maybe indeed, Kapitel Tes and Yud are in origin two kapitlach, but the fact is they talk about very similar topics. They both talk about this topic of the Rosha and how he's so successful and Hashem should prevent him from being so successful. So therefore, in that sense, the Gemara can think of it as one long kapitel. With that said, though, there is the possibility that maybe at one point they were one kapitel. You actually have, if you look carefully at Sukkim and Kapitel Tes and Yud, you have a partial Aleph Beis acrostic that runs through them. You have in Kapitel Tes, you have Oida Hashem B'chol Libi, Bishuv Oivai Ocher, go out to Goyim, and you have a more or less an order of the Aleph Beis over there until you get to Chof or so. Then you have Kapitel Yud, and the end of Kapitel, the last few psukim of Kapitel Yud continue. They pick up at the end of the Aleph Beis. Kuma Hashem Keol Nesal Yadecha. Ro'isik Yata Oma Bachas Shvor Zer Rasha. So maybe in origin there were one kapitel which David wrote partially in Aleph Beis order. In any case, so there is some discussion about where kapitlach were divided originally versus where they are now. Even nowadays, by the way, you have a there's a medrash actually that says that there are 147 kapitlach tilim where we have 150. So one way of looking at it is evidently that there may have been several pairs of kapitlach that originally were one and now have been split into two. Although Rav Shmuel Heber has in his book in his Sefer on Tilim, he says maybe what it is like this. Maybe the first two kapitlach are basically an introduction to the whole Sefer Tilim, so therefore they don't really count as kapitlach of their own. And then other than that, you have Kapitel Kuf Yudalan and Kuf Tesvav, Betseis Yisrael, and Loi Lanu Hashem Loi Lanu, to this very day, the Temanim have them as one long kapitel. And it seems that Rambam did also, from the way he describes the way you say Hallel, from the way he describes in Hilchos Megillah V'Chanukah. So in that case, it can come out that Taka, you have three less kapitlach than you otherwise would by considering Aleph and Beis as something of an introduction to the whole Tilim, and by counting Kuf Yudalan and Kuf Tesvav as one long kapitel. So we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, with the rest of the discussion of why Shemoneh Esrei is in the order that it is. Yom Yom Mashiach Ugo'ola, of Zion Nissen, the mitzvah that has the greatest special skula that it brings the Ge'ola closer is the mitzvah of Tzedakah, as Chazal tells us, Ge'ola Tzedakah, Shemakareva Sagola. That implies that, so that means that a person has to add more in tzedakah, and it should be as the best would be if it's done immediately. So the Rebbe was going to give out, coins or dollars or whatever with tzedakah at that time. Especially, we don't know. Nobody knows. You never know. The one last thing that's lacking in order to bring the gola might be giving a few coins for tzedakah. As we know, the Rambam writes, psakt in the halacha, that every person has to see himself in the entire world as exactly half-balanced, and he does one mitzvah, then he inclines himself in the whole world to the side of good, and regardam lo lohem truavat sola, and he causes a salvation and a rescue for himself or for the entire world. There's actually a different girsa that's brought, not vat sola, but vat slocha, that he brings that slocha to the entire world as well. Okay. Continuing on halachas of Shabbos, we started talking about that you're not allowed to break things that are not food, but when it's food, then you're allowed. Now, what if you have, for example, you have, let's say, cinnamon sticks or other things like that? You want to break them up in order to smell them. So you're allowed to do that, but you're not allowed. You're allowed to do that in order to smell them, but not, for example, to use them as a toothpick. You would be allowed to break, like you take a cinnamon stick or something like that, and you break off a piece in order to smell it. Because when you break it, then it makes the fragrance come out more strongly. But not to break off a piece to use as a toothpick, for example. Whereas he said in the previous part of the sif, he said, for example, when it's something that can be Michael Behema, then you could even use it. Then you could even break it off to use it as a toothpick. So you can take a piece of straw, for example, and break off a piece to pick your teeth with. The difference is that the difference apparently is that the cinnamon sticks or whatever are not Michael behavior.